Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Are you struggling to get past your teenagers' arguments and protests? Well, today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 20, is titled, Don't Get Stopped by Your Arguing Teen. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW. And I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you've always dreamed of. And for those experiencing parental burnout, go to my website, neildbrown.com, and get your free control battle assessment to see where your relationship with your teenager stands and what you can do about it right now. Well, I was recently giving a talk to parents at Longfellow Middle School in Virginia, and many parents understood what I was explaining in theory, but were struggling dealing with their kids' arguments and protests when they attempted to enforce limits. So today, we'll talk about productive ways to deal with your kid when they argue and protest your limits. And let's all remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. So let's begin. In order to address any challenging behavior from your son or your daughter, we need to take a step back and look at what's our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? And that way, when we think in those terms, when your son or daughter fights and argues, we can respond in a way that supports the goal and avoid feeling stopped in our tracks. So here's a way to think about what's going on. Picture an arched footbridge that your teenager is traveling over. Let's imagine that they're starting in the land of childhood at about age 12 or 13, and they're traveling over this footbridge and arriving in the land of young adulthood at about age 18. And when they arrive in the land of young adulthood, we want them to be ready to deal with the many responsibilities that will inevitably confront them. So helping our kids take this journey is not easy. Young teenagers, 12, 13, and 14-year-olds, are taking their first steps and pushing away from parents, and they're prioritizing their relationships with their peers, and they're learning to make decisions and do things independently from their families and from us, their parents. Now, the older teenagers, the 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, they've learned more independent skills and are hopefully motivated by getting ready for their young adult years. There'll be plenty of opportunities for them to make corrections in their behavior that we'll need to help them with, but they're not as focused on pushing away from parents as they are in getting ready for what's next in life. And then there's the 15-year-olds, and they're a little bit of early childhood, early adolescence, and they're a little bit of late adolescence. So think of this as a pretty profound period of human development where kids are learning and growing and leaving their childhoods behind and preparing for adulthood. All this is very dynamic and very difficult thing to do. It requires a constant renegotiation of the relationship between parents and teens. As kids demonstrate to their parents their ability to manage responsibilities and make healthy decisions, parents then support increased independence and offer more privileges. This process is often messy, with kids having plenty of ups and downs, and of course, they can easily take their parents along for the ride. It is not all uncommon for kids to think they've earned privileges and the right to independence when in fact they have not met their parents' standards. Also, kids often want privileges and independence that are appropriate for older teens when they are simply just still too young. So it's quite common that kids are going to fight and argue with their parents in an effort to get the independence and the privileges they want, but haven't yet earned. Now, you and I know that fighting and arguing is the wrong way to get what you want, and it is the wrong way for your teenager to get what they want, too. So we want to teach them the right way to get what they want. And that means kids being patient, accepting parental limits, and addressing parental and school expectations. So in order to do that, our kids need to learn to deal with their feelings of frustration and disappointment and have faith that as they grow and mature, that the privileges and the independence will come. that we're on their side. We want them to be happy and have plenty of privileges. We just want them to get there the right way. So let's look at some of the ways that kids fight, argue, and protest. In some ways, we can respond to these behaviors so that they don't become chronic battles. And instead, we can turn these behaviors into learning experiences for our kids so that our response helps them take their next steps over the footbridge towards young adulthood. So today we're going to talk about four common forms of teen resistance. I'm calling them the arguer, the badger, the hostile sulker, and the debater. The arguer gets emotional, gets loud, gives lots of reasons why the limit or consequence is unfair, and they might make promises about how they'll be able to handle the privilege they're fighting for or how they'll manage the currently undone responsibilities that are keeping them from the privilege. Their emotion and the attitude they portray is that you're betraying them, that this is entirely unfair, and that their suffering is enormous. And some kids, in the face of not getting what they want, will claim that nothing hereafter will ever matter to them, that what they want right now is the only thing they care about. At extreme levels, kids will threaten to punish their parents for punishing them. If you take my phone away, I'm really not going to do my homework then. Or if I can't go to the party, I'm going to hate you forever and I'll really not cooperate then. Here's an example. Let's say you've told your 15-year-old son that he's lost his computer gaming privileges because he hasn't been doing his homework and he hasn't been cooperative when you've asked him to take care of his responsibilities and his home responsibilities. So he starts yelling. That's ridiculous. You're way overreacting. I do most of my work and I'm going to catch up. Am I supposed to be perfect? I hate school anyway. Why would you take away the one thing I enjoy in life? Sound familiar? Okay, well, step one, don't react to their emotion. Look directly at your son, in this case, and listen to what he's saying and do not respond while he's still talking and heated. Ask if he's done. And if he never gets done, let him know you're happy to discuss the situation as soon as he's ready to listen. Then, when you get his attention and he's listening, summarize what you hear him say. In this case, you might say, "Thank you for telling me your thoughts. Now I want to talk without being interrupted. I hear that you believe I'm overreacting, that you do most of your work, and you think I expect you to be perfect. I do hear that you hate school and that I'm taking away the one thing you enjoy in life. And those are very important thoughts, and I see that you feel very strongly about them. What I want you to hear is that you have not been doing your best or even close to your best. You do not need to be perfect. You need to be cooperative, respectful, and do your best. And as soon as I see you're doing those things and you're ready to keep doing those things, computer gaming will come back. I'm not in control of your behavior. Only you are, and as soon as you take control of your attitude and your responsibilities, the privileges you enjoy will be back." Okay, so here in that example, I gave an example of how to respond in a way that allows three wonderful things to happen. Number one, you didn't get overwhelmed, caught up in a fight, and build or enter a control battle. And so you're not getting burned out. Number two, you helped your son feel listened to and understood, and you modeled listening and understanding. That's a good thing. And then three, you showed him the right way forward, the right way to cross the bridge towards his eventual young adulthood, to get his attitude under control and get his responsibilities engaged. Now, let's look at how to accomplish this with the three other forms of protesting behavior. Badgering is an extreme form of the arguer. The badgerer will argue till his parents walk away and then follow and keep arguing. Some parents have had to lock themselves in the bathroom after getting chased around the house or get in the car and drive away to get away and make the interaction stop. So the badgerer might sound like this. I don't know if I can badger as well as a badgerer, but I'll try. You can't take my computer privileges away. You never took Jimmy's computer privileges away. How come you're like that with me? I do most of my homework. It's not my fault if the teacher wasn't clear about the deadline. It's not a big deal anyway. Why is everything so important and such a big deal when it comes to me? Am I the only one in this family that makes messes? How come I have to take the blame for everything? Dad said he didn't always do homework when he was a kid. How come I'm the one who's expected to be perfect around here? How would you like it if I took your computer privileges away? Well, this can go on and on and on. I've heard parents tell me that they've suffered for hours with this. So this is obviously an extreme situation, but it exists. And more often than you'd believe, and the more extreme a situation is, the harder it's going to be to turn it around. But here's a first step that will be a critical first start. Number one, stop running away. Turn around and face your teen and look them right in the eye. Have a notepad and a pen and start writing down everything they say. Now, inevitably, they're going to say, "What are you doing?" And when they do, you simply say, "I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. You're saying so many things, I need to write them down." Well, when they're done talking or demand a reply from you, ask them if they're ready to listen without interrupting. And then do the same thing that we would do with the arguer in the first example. Tell them you understand their thoughts and feelings by repeating back, and then let them know that they're going to need to do what they're going to need to do to earn their privileges. Now, very likely they're going to continue to badger and won't let you get a word in, and let them know this is called badgering and verbal abuse. And they absolutely will not get privileges while they are badgering and verbally abusing you or anyone else. So you just name what they're doing and let them know that that's the first thing they're going to need to do to change. All right, let's go and look at the hostile sulker. In this form of protest, the kid will usually get very, very angry and argue, and if they don't get what they want right away, they'll make a threat, go to the room, slam the door, and isolate. Often, the parent feels guilty and think they have to explain things more to get their kid to understand. They may be even tempted to back off and make some concessions. In this case, give your kid some space and go on with business as usual. If they continue their isolation and, for instance, won't come to dinner or participate in something important, such as the family going out someplace together, simply go to their room and let them know that they are responsible for and completely capable of earning their privileges, and that sulking and being uncooperative will make it just that much harder for them to earn their privileges. You know they're completely capable of mature behavior and taking responsibility for their actions and dealing with the situation and for making it better. But it's entirely up to them. The privileges will be there for them when they take positive action and not until. So if they need more time for themselves and need to sulk a bit longer, that's fine with you, but it will just be dragging things out. Make sense? Okay. Now let's talk about the debater. Now the debater is a reasonable, logical person. They're strong in their presentation of their arguments. They could be captain of the debate club at school. They have a very adult-like presentation. In fact, they sound so mature that it's enticing for a parent to just give in and change their position. But don't. Once again, acknowledge their point of view and the reasonableness of it, and then do something that's often done in business. It's called a gap analysis. It works like this. You look at where you are and where you need to be, and the difference between those two things is called a gap. So what you can do with your very reasonable teenager is explain that they've done an excellent job of getting where they are, and then let them know the next steps they need to take to close the gap and get where they need to be. If they continue their debating, simply nod your head, indicating that you understand. And when they stop, clarify the points they still need to be done to and addressed, and that you appreciate their reasonableness, and you'll be ready to view this with them at some designated point in the future, say, for instance, like Sunday evening, but not until. So you've got to be able to point a direction forward for them, let them know what they need to do, and then stop. They're used to getting their way and being very persuasive, so it's important to acknowledge and validate their point of view and their reasonableness. And let them know that as soon as this gap is closed, you'll be happy to re-engage any lost privileges. So in each of these cases, we're helping our kids feel understood and validated, and then we're offering a healthy way to move forward in the crossing of their developmental bridge. And if you've done that, you've done them a wealth of good, and you've saved yourself a lot of grief and struggle and arguing and fighting, which only leads to control battles and burnout, and your teenager won't benefit from that, and neither will you. Well, there we are. We just reviewed 4 forms of protest and 4 ways to deal with them. You're not alone in your struggle. This is hard for all parents of teens. But if we can keep in mind that our kids will present plenty of inappropriate behaviors, they're learning. And it's our job to teach them. And what we're doing is we're helping our kids cross the developmental bridge and build skills for their inevitable young adulthoods. It's never smooth, and it's never easy. It isn't for any of us. Just have faith in yourself and faith in your teen, and you'll do great. Well, thanks to the parents at Longfellow Middle School for their great questions that inspired today's podcast, and please do send me yours too. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, go to neildbrown.com and get your free control battle assessment to see where your relationship with your teenager stands. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.